From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Tuesday, October 29th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
You're yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth. The kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things officially started with...
The Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here 80% of life satisfaction comes from meaningful relationships. Yeah, and the other 20% you don't talk about.
I request the cone of silence.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blog cast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, I'll bet.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Yeah, really?
You might be quizzed.
Oh, stop. Nobody believes that anymore. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1929, which was dubbed Black Tuesday, the New York Stock Exchange crashed, ending the great bull market of the 1920s and beginning the Great Depression. Yeah, the economy completely crashed. People lost their livelihoods, their homes, some even lost their lives. So why did they call it the Great Depression? Doesn't sound all that great to me. Not like it's something you want to go through again. And it was on this day in 1986, British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher opened the last stretch of the M25 motorway, which is a loop around London, known as the London Orbital Motorway. Wow, sounds formal. It's 117 miles long and is the UK's busiest highway. And unfortunately, it's littered with crappy British cars.
Sounds like a show to me.
I have not yet seen the full Madison Square Garden rally that Donald Trump held on Sunday, but apparently it was filled to capacity. Imagine that. The most famous concert venue in the entire world, Madison Square Garden. And apparently the entire program was just out of this world great. You can see it. You can catch it on YouTube, and I suggest you do. But I have a couple of highlights. Just a couple. I'm not going to burden you for too long about what's already history. I did not have a chance to watch it live. Didn't realize they were carrying it live on YouTube. So that really points out some terrific organization on the part of the RNC. I'm really impressed with Lara Trump's work with the RNC. It's just phenomenal. So highlights. The opening of the event was highlighted by a comedian who has the world's most popular comedy podcast on the internet, and his name is Tony Hinchcliffe, but he goes by the moniker of Kill Tony, and his opening was very controversial. There were times while he was speaking that the audience was just dead silent because of the controversial nature of what he was saying, but it was spot on. But the highlight of what Tony had to say was this right here about the Clintons.
Hillary Clinton said that this is a Nazi rally here today. Can you believe that? For the most anti-war president of my entire lifetime, and she calls him Hitler. Let me remind you, Hillary, it was your husband who shot innocent people, or as he called them, interns. Yeah, Hillary, I bet you did not see that one coming. By the way, if I commit suicide in 3 weeks, I didn't.
Edgy stuff. But it was all good fun, and it was good clean fun, too. It was amazing. Guy's super. Had never heard of this fellow before. Tony Hinchcliffe, or Kill Tony, as he's known on the internet. And now, I don't know what order the speakers came in, and I don't know who all was there yet. I don't have a list. But here again, I would recommend you go watch the whole thing. But one thing you're going to really appreciate if you do watch it is what Tucker Carlson had to say. And he was talking about why so many people, why everybody loves Donald Trump. Well, okay, not everybody, but huge numbers of people. Many, 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 many millions of people love Donald Trump. And He was talking about how Donald Trump has exposed the system of lies like no one else has. Here's what he had to say.
And the second reason that people love Trump, and I put myself in this category, it's why I'm here today, is because he's liberated us in the deepest and truest sense. And the liberation he has brought to us is the liberation from the obligation to tell lies. Donald Trump has made it possible for the rest of us to tell the truth about the world around us. And that's the single most liberating thing you can do for people. If you want to enslave people, if you want to degrade them, force them to tell lies. And they have. They forced us to lie about everything at gunpoint, effectively. They put people in prison for refusing to lie. And not just the obvious lies that men can become women or Vladimir Putin blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. No, honestly, he did. January 6th was an insurrection. They were unarmed, but it was very insurrection-y. Not even the obvious ones, but the big lie. You know what the big lie is? The big lie is that they're impressive. That's what the big lie is. That the people in charge have somehow earned the right to rule over you, and they haven't. And you know that. These are the single most useless people in the United States. They have no skills whatsoever. They've got three quarters of the money, and they didn't earn it. They set up a system precisely for the purpose of awarding themselves wealth and power when it's undeserved. You look at Liz Cheney and you ask yourself, honestly, what skill could she possibly have that allowed her to send hundreds of thousands of people to their deaths? Did she earn that? I don't think she did. No fair system would make Liz Cheney powerful. No fair system would make Larry Fink rich. No fair system would elevate someone like Kamala Harris to a presidential nomination. She's never been accused of doing anything useful. She has precisely no achievements. She's a nominee without getting a single vote. She is a metaphor for the system they created to make themselves rich and powerful, and then they have the gall to lecture you, the people who can actually change a flat tire and repair a power grid, who have useful jobs, who pay your taxes and work 40 hours a week, lecture you that you are somehow immoral. And Donald Trump has empowered the rest of us through mostly just sticking around in the face of their hate and abuse and persecution. He has given the rest of us the right to call BS on the charade. No, you are not better than us. No, you are not smarter than us. No, you do not deserve what you have. You probably stole it. No, you're not going to bully me into silence anymore. And I can promise you at this point, 9 days out, when Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Elon Musk and Tulsi Gabbard and pretty much every high school senior and college sorority girl in the country has come out finally say, yeah, I am for Donald Trump, actually. When the entire country has realized there is nothing embarrassing about this, what's embarrassing is to take a perfectly great country and destroy it, as they have. I'm not ashamed. You should be. At that moment, it's going to be pretty tough for them, 10 days from now, to look in the eye to America with a straight face. It's going to be pretty hard to look at us and say, you know what, Kamala Harris, she got 85 million votes because she's just so impressive. As the first Samoan, Malaysian, low IQ, former California prosecutor ever to be elected president, it was just a groundswell of popular support. And anyone who thinks otherwise is just a freak or a criminal. At this stage of the game, after 9 years of listening to their lies and finding every single one of them totally false, no, it's not safe and effective, and no, she's not impressive. It's very hard for me to believe the rest of us are going to say, you know what, Joe Scarborough, you're right. You're right. She won fair and square because she's just so impressive. I don't think so. And to me, that is liberation. It's the freedom to say what's obviously true as a free man and not a slave. And I just want to say thank you, Donald Trump, for that.
But apparently, I mean, not having seen the rally yet, I hope to be able to carve out enough time to watch it, maybe sometime today. Better late than never, right? But apparently this rally on Sunday was just phenomenal. And again, imagine this, Madison Square Garden packed to full capacity. And it was just an awesome program. And right now, even CNN is predicting a blowout election win for Donald Trump. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say this. If Donald Trump doesn't win, there is no God. Interesting little bit of truth-telling in Conservative Brief on the part of Carmine Sabia. He's a good writer. He's a good political observer. And he mentioned that Kamala Harris pulled a bait and switch on her supporters, and her supporters were pretty angry about it. This happened back on Friday right here in Houston. And let me kind of draw a little picture for you. We've got all kinds of stadiums and stuff, sports venues in downtown Houston. Of course, our football venue is right next door to the old Astrodome, which is just south of downtown. But in downtown, we got Toyota Center for the Rockets. We've got Minute Maid Park for the Astros. And then we have Shell Stadium, which is the soccer stadium for the Houston Dynamo. And this was the venue that was going to be used by the Kamala Harris campaign for a rally. Now, people were lined up in advance. It looked like the stadium was going to be just absolutely full to the brim, which kind of surprised me. But then again, it didn't, because Houston is pretty well mixed politically. You've got a pretty even mix of conservatives and liberals. And so I expected that since Beyoncé was going to be at the event, that there would be a big crowd. Well, it's exactly what happened. Word got out that Beyoncé was going to be in attendance. Unfortunately, the crowds were led to believe that Beyoncé would be performing. Well, she didn't perform. She got up and gave a very short speech, and that was it. So here you had a crowd that believed there was going to be a free concert, and that's not what happened. She left the stage after just a few minutes, and people started walking out. It was hilarious. Some in attendance said that when Beyoncé exited the stage, fans started leaving the building because they had not attended the event to see the vice president. They had gone there to see Beyoncé. So, bait and switch crowd building is what one attendee said. Promised a performance to bring people in, and they went streaming to the exits when Beyoncé left the stage. And that's to be expected, I guess. Another person said she can't even deliver on promises to her own followers. Here's another one said, y'all thought y'all were going to catch a free Beyoncé concert. Ha ha. So anyhow, what Beyoncé said, she says, we're so happy to be standing here on this stage as proud country Texas women supporting and celebrating the one and only Vice President Kamala Harris. We're at the precipice of an incredible shift, brink of history, she said. Boy, is she going to be embarrassed after a week from today, right? Because a week from today is Election Day. Let's not forget that. I've already voted. And she said that Harris is someone who cares deeply about the world my children and all our children live in, a world where we have the freedom to control our bodies. Yeah, and you have the freedom as school systems to keep secrets from students' parents about their sexuality. You know, as if that was any business of the schools anyhow. Don't get me started on that, okay? But anyhow, when she left the stage, the applause stopped and people started heading for the exits. And that wasn't anything compared to the boos that were showered on, both Kamala Harris and Michelle Obama when they appeared together. A protester demanding an end to the war in Gaza interrupted the beginning of Kamala's speech. And Vice President took the stage later on in Kalamazoo, Michigan, after the Houston disaster, following a sharp critique from the former First Lady aimed at Donald Trump, urging men who were planning to vote for him to reconsider. Sorry. Sorry, Michelle. Any recommendation you have to make is just forget about it. Michelle, you have no creds with anybody. You know, so anyhow, it was a disaster, as could be expected. But the thing is, when it comes to the word disaster or the word destruction, the first thing that comes to mind is the Democrat Party. They are out to destroy everything. They're out to destroy our country. They're out to destroy our culture. They're even out to destroy our language. And I just don't see a future for this country, any country for that matter, that adopts any political doctrine that is in any way, shape, or form similar to the Democrat Party ticket. So what happened to the Democrats? They used to be a half-decent party. What happened to them? Well, they completely gave up. They completely surrendered to the radical left. And by radical left, I mean socialists and communists. And these people are serious, and they are not going to give up their power willfully. I mean, look at some of the players. They've even got the Cheneys now. Both Dick Cheney and his daughter Liz, turncoats. But when you have people like John Brennan and James Clapper playing the game from behind the scenes, you know, in a clandestine manner. John Brennan is an extremely dangerous person. I don't know why nobody is exposing this man for the evil individual that he is. I mean, just look at the man's face. He looks like a stereotypical Hollywood villain, doesn't he? My God, he's scary looking. And that is a reflection of the soul of that individual. I can't say enough about John Brennan in terms of how evil he is. And he's out to destroy this country. He's out to destroy you and me. And that's what we're voting about a week from today. So, anyhow, things are not going very well at all for Kamala. Let's talk about this Kalamazoo, Michigan thing. She took the stage up there following a sharp critique from Michelle Obama. And Michelle was urging men who were planning to vote for him to reconsider, just as Harris began her remarks. And Harris was heckled by audience members chanting, "No more Gaza war." Now, Harris paused for just a second as the crowd booed before stating, "On the topic of Gaza, we must end that war." Well, of course, she's going to say anything that the crowd wants to hear. And a remark was made during a weekend when Trump received endorsements from Muslim leaders at a rally. And where was that? Was that near Dearborn, Michigan? Hamtramck, that's where it was. And that's not looking good for Harris. And her comments, her comments came just hours after Israeli fighter jets targeted 20 military sites in Iran in retaliation for missile attacks from Tehran earlier this month. And that is something that's going to more than probable odds that that's going to develop into something really big before Donald Trump can take the White House in January. But then again, that's just speculation on my part. Don't read too much into that. And then outside her rally, a small group of about a dozen pro-Palestinian protesters marched and chanted that Harris and Biden couldn't hide. So you got the pro-Palestinians who are pretty pissed off at Kamala Harris by default. I mean, they're actually pissed off at Biden, but they can't go after him anymore. So this war in Gaza is a very significant issue in the presidential election. And what we have to do is we have to elect somebody who can address both the pro-Palestinian side of that argument and the pro-Israel side. Because Israel has a right to protect itself as a nation. They're a sovereign nation, surrounded on three sides by people who hate them and on one side by water. The odds aren't good there. So if you want an answer as to why are the Israelis such fierce fighters, why are they so successful in their military endeavors, that's why. So here you have a situation where whoever takes the White House has got to be able to skillfully move the blocks in a way that people will start talking with each other. The answer is not more war. And that's the only place the Democrats know how to take us, because they're so deeply embedded with the deep state and the military-industrial complex. Let's forget for a moment, shall we, that Microsoft and other tech companies have a tendency to lean left. That is a tendency. They don't necessarily have a staunch loyalty to the left. So it's in that spirit I'm going to tell you about this. China's involvement in our elections, targeting Republican candidates, is emerging as a very serious concern. And this is according to a recent report by Microsoft. Now, this is a Microsoft analysis that we're talking about here, and it says that Russia and Iran are identified as threats. The nations plan to exercise social media to promote disinformation in hopes of swaying voters. Now, relax, because Donald Trump's momentum right now is so obviously terrific. I mean, when CNN is talking about Donald Trump will probably win in a landslide, then, you know. But here again, never rest on laurels. You have to assume the worst. So Microsoft released this report indicating that China's actively interfering in our elections, particularly targeting Republican candidates. Well, obviously, China didn't like the trade deal that Donald Trump worked out with them back in 2017. So the report implicates individuals connected to China's Ministry of Public Security. And these operations are believed to be a strategy to weaken candidates like Barry Moore, Michael McCaul, Marsha Blackburn, and Senator Marco Rubio, who've expressed strong anti-China positions. Now, this interference reportedly employs tactics like amplifying anti-Semitic narratives and promoting corruption scandals to undermine these candidates. So Microsoft identified a group called Taizi Flood as directly involved in these activities, highlighting this as a growing menace that aligns with efforts from other nations like Russia and Iran. Now, both McCaul and Moore responded to these revelations, viewing this interference as recognition of their firm stances against the Chinese state. We're not against China, we're against the CCP, the commies. And McCaul referred to it as a badge of honor, while Moore criticized the Chinese Communist Party, as well he should. A Chinese embassy spokesperson, however, dismissed these claims as malicious speculations, reflecting China's standard approach to rebut such accusations. I mean, really, did you expect China to respond in any other manner? Now, Microsoft said, quote, Chinese influence operations have focused on down-ballot Republican candidates and members of Congress that advocate for anti-Chinese policies. Now, by anti-Chinese policies, of course, we're talking about things like trade, the fact that China's doing to us what Japan was doing to us back in the 1970s and most of the 1980s. Japan had a great trade advantage over us. Well, now China's doing that. So basically what happened to us back in the 70s and 80s at the hands of Japan, now China's doing this. And this is what these people are bitching about. The unfair trade. So with the election a week away, Microsoft warns about the significant impact that foreign actors can have by rapidly spreading deceptive content online. And my God, they can do that almost instantaneously. Now, the report underlines the importance of awareness and caution for voters, government institutions, candidates, and parties amid escalating tensions. And make no mistake about it, tensions are escalating. So the Microsoft, what they call the Microsoft Threat Analysis Center, MTAC, documented that the period surrounding Election Day remains particularly critical, with foreign actors potentially intensifying their efforts. The report stressed the urgency for vigilance against misinformation, saying, history has shown foreign actors' ability to rapidly distribute deceptive content can significantly impact public perception and electoral outcomes. I do find it very interesting that Microsoft made it very clear that the targets are down-ballot Republicans. So I thank them for that. And they warned that as foreign influences like Iran and China increasingly use social media to affect voter perceptions, counteracting these narratives, these deceptive narratives, is essential to protect the integrity of democratic systems. Well, of course, it's kind of a no-brainer. But how do you go about doing that? So this concern reflects a growing global issue affecting not only the United States, but democratic values worldwide. In other words, the Western world. I wanted to share something with you before we call it quits for the day and bring in the Comedy Corner. Last March, I moved out here to Liberty County, Texas, and the town of Liberty. I'm just right on the outskirts of the thriving metropolis of Liberty, Texas, which consists of about 9,000 people. And last week, I voted early. And it was an amazing experience because I left Sugar Land, Texas, and Fort Bend County, which in the last 4 to 6 years has become a purple area in Texas. Fort Bend County used to be staunchly conservative, staunchly red. Well, a bunch of Republicans, because the Republican Party of Fort Bend County is so weak, they ended up losing to a bunch of Democrats. So the county's basically purple. And my experience here in Liberty last week in early voting was quite an eye-opener because I got to the polling place and there were campaign signs. Not a lot, but there were several campaign signs. And they were all, every single one of them, was for Republicans. As promised, to the Comedy Corner with Rob Little.
Hello, wow, look at all, there is a lot of bald guys here. What? What is, are we having a meeting or something? What's going on? Awesome, what's up, bald brother? Yes. Oh, I love being bald, don't you? Oh my, look at all the money we save by not going on dates. And yeah, we could look at them. Oh, this is crazy. Are we having a meeting? I feel like we should be, like, we could start our own band. We got enough of us right here. Call ourselves the Four Tops or something. That'd be awesome. I see you're keeping the side though. Yeah, okay. Keep it at, you can let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Awesome. Look at all the cute girls, too. Oh, it's weird. I'm getting older, and it's weirder things get me excited about women, right? You're getting older. You know what I'm talking about. Look at them. There's a lot of good ones right here. Yes. Yes. Yummy. Yes. What? Girls in glasses drive me, and I just see them, and I'm like, oh boy, she's got bad eyesight. Yes. Oh. When those come off, I am gonna look so good. I look really good blurry. So love girls with disabilities. So hot. So hot. Oh, you got a guy with glasses. That's adorable. Do women feel the same way about guys with glasses? It's not the same, is it? I know. It's probably like, oh my boy, he's gonna fix my computer. Like, you're just oh man, this is gonna be fun. So I'm kind of a party guy. I feel like this is a party crowd for the yes. I'm the kind of guy, if you're having a party and you invite me, I'll come. I don't care what kind of party it is. Ladies, a Pinterest party? Ugh. I'll bring the crafts, right? Tupperware party. Let's blow the lid off this place. You ever been to a crappy party, though? We all have. If you haven't, you need to get out more. I'll tell you that. I went to the worst one I've ever been to in my life. It was a search party. Everybody was crying. Couldn't find this one guy.
Get out there and make it a terrific Tuesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.